Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making a mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Welcome to Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Payne on 109.910 Station. Happy Independence Day to you. I hope your week has been reflective and insightful and that you have encountered people, circumstances, and wisdom that will move you further into the life that you want to live. I'm so glad that you are with me this evening. There are so many other things that you could have been doing with your time, but you have chosen to spend this time with me and know that I don't take that for granted. As I reflected on what this day means, so significant came to mind. While we typically celebrate the sacrifices that the military has made for us to maintain our independence and our freedom, there was an ultimate sacrifice that was made that provided freedom for all people. Through the sacrifices of Christ's blood, he has made available to us a freedom unlike any other. Webster's New World Dictionary defines freedom as the state or quality of being free, exemption or liberation from the control of some other person or some arbitrary power, liberty, independence, being able to act, move, or use without hindrance or restraint, being able of itself to choose or determine actions freely, ease of movement or performance, a right or privilege. It describes liberty as being freedom or release from slavery, imprisonment, captivity, or any other form of arbitrary control. We have been given the freedom to walk in perfect health. We have been given the freedom to have healthy, meaningful, and life-affirming relationships. We have been given access to wealth and abundance. We have been given the right to choose peace and love over discord and chaos. We have the freedom to be successful and to create the kind of life we want to have. We do not have to live life by default. Now, I'm not saying that just wanting these things are enough. No, there's research to be done and actions to change in our behaviors. Reprogramming of our minds to accept and embrace the change we want to see in our lives. And it takes sticking to the process even when we don't see any immediate results. And even if it looks like things are getting worse before they get better, but know that staying the course will eventually get you to where you want to go. And for those of you who are waiting on the perfect circumstances to get started, there are no perfect circumstances. Take a good look at what's going on around you. Take an honest inventory of what you have access to now, and then just get started. We don't always get to start a business having an office to run it from. Sometimes the office is a corner in the kitchen at your kitchen table. Sometimes the lab for your product is your own kitchen or somewhere in the basement, the beauty shop that you want to run. You know, it may not start in an actual shop. It may be in your basement. But the point is, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Utilize what you have access to now. He who is faithful with a little will eventually be given more. So instead of focusing on waiting for the perfect or ideal situation, just be a good steward of what you have access to now and know that eventually it will pay off. So I had mentioned a few broadcasts back that at one point I wanted to own a daycare. And here I'm sitting there and I'm waiting on an opportunity to own a house with a certain kind of layout so that I wouldn't have to feel like I was living in an actual daycare. And, you know, that opportunity has not presented itself in the way that I thought that it would, you know, but at some point I had to just look at what I did have available, and I'm thinking, okay, well, if I can own something, then I don't have to shut everything down and then, you know, move the families and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? I needed to just get started. So I spent a lot of time, a lot of years, you know, waiting on the ideal situation, and there wasn't one. When I had stuff that was available to me there, I could have just gotten started in the living room and maybe turned a spare bedroom into a den or something if I felt like I didn't want to just, you know, be living in an actual, you know, daycare setting or anything like that. So I guess I'm just saying all that to say that, you know, don't look at the things that you have as obstacles. Look at how you can turn those into, you know, your blessing and into stuff that you can use to help make you more profitable and to help make your dreams come true. Sooner rather than later. So don't waste your time just waiting on a perfect opportunity. Just go ahead and get started. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Tonight we'll be talking about writing the vision and starting your vision boards. And so this passage of scripture is so important to us for so many different reasons. You know, first of all, he's telling us, go ahead and just write down what it is that you want to do. Write down what it is that's in your heart, you know, because it's just a dream if you're just thinking about it. It actually kind of becomes more real when you put pen to paper or, you know, fingers to your keyboard or whatever it is that you do. Your version of writing it down. You need to be able to go back and look at it. And you need to make it plain. So that means you're going to have to break some steps down. So initially, you know, it may start off with you just writing down, I want to own a daycare, or I want to own a spa. I want to, you know, have a beauty shop, or, you know, whatever your thing is. You go there. And then, you know, you may have to go a little bit further. Okay, well, you know, who is the population then that I want to reach, and what is going to set my product apart or my service apart from others and make me stand out from the crowd? Now, you know, with all these people on the planet, we do know that no one person can reach everyone, which is, you know, kind of a, that ends up being a blessing, because there is a group of people that you are supposed to reach, and no one can reach them quite the way you can. And so, but what is it that sets your product or your service apart from everybody else? Why should they choose you over, you know, perhaps the person across the street? I have a relative who owns a daycare, and I had a conversation with her a while back, and and what I was talking about opening it. Now, mind you, we live in different counties and everything, but that didn't go over very well. She had been in business almost 20 years, but the thought of me also having a daycare was not something that she supported or embraced or helped or anything like that. So when I was talking to her, I said, it doesn't really matter. I said, because even if I lived right across the street from you and your next three neighbors had daycares, no one person is going to provide the exact same thing. And what works for the parents that are using my facility might not work for the parents that are using your facility, and vice versa. So you don't have to worry about the competition. You just need to give your best to what it is that you have to do. Do your research and find out what it is. Usually that's where there's nothing new under the sun anyway. So that typically is where new ideas and stuff come from. You see where there has been some sort of gap or some need that's been left unfulfilled, and you're like, okay, oh, I can do this better, or I can fine-tune this and make this more worthwhile or whatever. And so that typically is where, new ideas and things like that are birthed from. So go ahead and just do what it is that's laid in your heart to be done. So you're writing the vision. And these things, make it plain on tablets. So you're going to have to really get in there and fine-tune some things. You may start off, and it may be, just a small amount. You may just have one client. But, we said that we were not going to despise the day of small beginnings. Whatever it is that you have that you are able to start off with, go ahead and be a good steward of that. I remember Pastor Paul Shepherd saying that the Lord had led him from the East Coast to somewhere in California to start a ministry, and it was supposed to be such a tremendous blessing. And the cost of living and everything was so much more expensive in California than it was, as he and his wife were kind of struggling and all this. And he would get up there and he would preach his heart out these sermons week after week to basically nobody in the congregation. But God was watching all of that, and even though growth was supposed to come, it took something like 10 years for his ministry to finally just blow up. But when it did, it did. And so he didn't know exactly when it was that everything was going to, culminate and become what it was that God had spoken over his life. But his job was to hold fast to the vision and to be a good steward of what it was that God had given him. So there was only, he, his wife, and maybe one other person in the congregation, that he was still supposed to treat it as if he were preaching to the multitude, and he did. And showing himself faithful with the small things, God blessed him with much, and now he has, a ministry, and he is a voice who's known all around our nation, but it started off with him being faithful with a little bit, and not losing heart. And there were times when he was like, why am I going through all this? Why am I taking the time to prepare a sermon? And why am I, showing up here week after week? And why am I preaching like there's so many people and stuff here and there's just one person? Am I even making a difference? But his job was to just keep doing what he was doing. And eventually it paid off. It took, in his case, it took 10 years. And I'm not saying it's going to take 10 years for you, but I am saying that for whatever it is that he has given you and whatever it is that he has blessed you with for right now, just be a faithful steward of those things, because it all means something. And as he's sitting around and he's looking to see who it is that he's going to bless, he's going to bless the one who has been faithful and who has been diligent and who has been right there just pressing on. And, by now you guys know I'm pretty real about stuff. So if you got to cry your way through something, go ahead and just cry your way through it. He can handle that, but you want to make sure that you are just staying the course and just doing what it is that he has laid upon you or has instructed you to do. Because if you quit, then you have no chance at all of being able to get where it is that you want to go. So, just go ahead and do all that. But anyway, so we're talking about, making it plain on tablets. And then it says that he may run who reads it. Well, you're the one who's reading it. He has given you the vision. And so whatever it is that he is telling you to do, go ahead and do those things. And so, there, when you think about a large corporation or, some big company or something, there's not multiple presidents, there's one. And he has given the vision for that facility or for, for that organization to that person. That person is the head over it. And so someone who is under you, they may get bits and pieces of, you know, of ideas and stuff about what it is that you're supposed to do, but they're not going to get the whole vision because he hasn't given them the vision for your enterprise or for your life. He has given you the vision for your life. And so you need to hold on to that. And he may send people to speak into you, but be mindful of those people who are speaking against what it is that he's telling you to do. I just had an idea of something I wanted to do just recently, and I have a couple of people that I run ideas and bounce stuff back and forth with, you know, because he does say that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety also. So, you know, you're not supposed to just hold on to everything. You need to be mindful of who it is that you are, you know, speaking yourself to. And the person I was talking to, you know, I don't even think they realized how they had minimalized what it was that he was saying, you know, or had given to me. And so I'm sharing, you know, with her, and all I could do was just smile and nod my head. Say, okay, well, you know, that's great. I'll give that to Barbara. I'll pray about it. You know, whatever. But he had already given me a vision, you know. Now, it wasn't that what she was saying wasn't valid or wasn't a good idea, but it was not, it nowhere near reached the magnitude of what was he had already let me to know. This is what I want you to do. This is something that you need to look into. So, you know, but just know that for you that's something important to kind of keep in mind because, you know, sometimes people will talk down on your vision, not trying to. But, you know, not everybody is, you know, a hater, you know, per se. Some people just don't have the vision, but he gave the vision to you, and that was the point. So the whole reason of you writing the vision and making it plain on tablets is so that, you know, as you're running and you're going on with your life and you're doing the things that he has called you to do, that you're able to run with it. You're the one who needs to go back and refamiliarize yourself with it, especially if it takes a long time. Like we said, it took Paul like 10 years to be able to birth that ministry the way that he was, that the Lord gave him, like the vision that he gave him. It took 10 years. So you know, whatever it was that God had spoken to him, you know he had to go back over and over again, like, okay, like, did I miss you? Did I really hear what I thought I heard? Because, you know, this is really taking a long time, and this was nothing like I thought it was going to look. But that was important. And so, you know, his job was literally just to go ahead and encourage himself. You know, we see in Scripture all the time that David encouraged himself in the Lord, even when he was feeling his worst and, you know, and things were going against the grain, he encouraged himself. And so you are writing the vision so that you, first of all, you can keep yourself encouraged and so that you know where you're going, but also so that as you are planning things, like, and sometimes we talk about how when you have many gifts or you are anointed for a thing, you know, there are all kinds of things that draw people. You know, beauty will draw people, and a talent will draw people, and gifts and anointings will draw people. And so you will have people sometimes pulling on you and calling on you and drawing on you and asking you to do things. But the truth is, if you have not, if it's not what he has sanctioned for you to do, then you're out of position and you're pouring time and space into stuff that has no business having that time or that space or that place in your life. And if you're doing that, then there's something that you should be doing for what it is he has called you to do that's not getting done. And so, you know, and then you wonder why is stuff taking so long or why have things, why are things looking very different than you thought they were going to look when he gave you this vision. But sometimes it's because you're taking on stuff that's not yours to take on. And so when people begin to ask you to do things, you'll want to, you know, kind of go into prayer. And, you know, by now you guys all know I'm a writer, and I've been writing since I was 7. You know, so it's just what I do. It's as much a part of me as breathing is. And so, you know, and writing is what I love. It's what I love to do. And so, and, you know, people are aware of my gift and also the area of anointing within that gift also. So a church I had been attending for a long time, one of the associate pastors had asked me to write a newsletter for the singles ministry. And that was something I had always wanted to do. And the Lord was so clear. He's like, you better not tell him yes until you've heard from me. So the funny thing about that is from that time until now, I have still not heard that yet. So I guess that was not a part of something that he had intended for me to do. And I understood the significance of that, of me trying to run this newsletter, you know, and speaking into the lives of these people and not having any anointing present to change, you know, to change anything. And so it would have been the equivalent of me trying to get up there and preach a sermon and not having any God in the sermon. You know, we don't want, you know, the pastor who's up there preaching. We want what it is that God has for us through that person. We're just vessels. And so, you know, I could have said something to the singles or, you know, to whatever, but that wasn't what he wanted me to do. And so I did not get an okay with that. But that time ended up being kind of pivotal for me because I was able to learn to ask the question. And the question in this case is, all right, Lord, you know, is this my assignment? And so, you know, I know many of us struggle with just accepting whatever it is and feeling like we have to just, you know, but somebody asked me for help, okay, and that's great. But do you realize that if you're helping and you're in a situation that he has not ordained for you to be in, that first of all, you're in the way because, you know, while you might not have been the person that he assigned, there is someone out there that he has assigned. And if you're taking that role in that place, you're actually in the way. And so you, the person who's supposed to be functioning in that role, can't get there because you're taking up space. You know, that's one thing. And then sometimes we're helping and we are not really helping at all. There's something, that, a greater lesson that he's trying to teach that person. And your helping is actually hindering because he can't get to them for them to be able to grow out of where it is that they are. So, you know, when things are coming across your path and you are just jumping right in, Johnny on the spot to just, you know, jump in feet first and just help, you might want to slow your roll on that one and kind of go back and ask him, okay, Lord, you know, is this my assignment? Because sometimes the answer to that question is no, that one's not assigned to you. You know, in which case your prayer is, okay, Lord, but whoever it is that is assigned to that, please bring that person forward so that they can go in there and do what it is that you have assigned them to do and anointed them and appointed them to do. You don't want to be in the way of anybody else not getting what it is that they need just because you are, you know, in a way kind of, you know, kind of playing God, not thinking that he can handle it. Trust me, he can handle it. You know, he can create a whole entire world that's seen and unseen. He can handle whatever's going on in the lives of whoever it is that's asking you to do whatever it is that they're asking you to do. And sometimes people will feel a sense of entitlement. You know, well, you're my child. You know, you have this gift, and I'm working on this project. You're supposed to help me. That's who? You know, God is the one who decides, you know, where the help is coming from. He is the one who decides that. And so, you know, we just give that right back to him. And so I guess I'm saying that because you don't have to own other people's stuff. You know, that ties right back into how we begin the broadcast tonight, just talking about levels of freedom and independence. You know, people will try and put stuff off on you, but it's up to you to decide if you're going to own their stuff or not. And you are under no obligation to own anybody else's stuff. So, you know, not that we're not supposed to help people and stuff like that, but you do have to, you know, to thine own self be true. So we're talking about the vision. You're being true to the vision that it is that he has given to you. So we were talking about how, you know, people will pull on you and they will ask you to do things because they see where what it is that you have can benefit what it is that they're doing. But just because they're asking doesn't necessarily mean that you are assigned to it. So you want to ask him, you know, is this my assignment? And if it's not, you know, trust that he will bring them what it is that they need. And if you are having a hard time trusting that he's going to bring it to them, ask him. Just ask the question, hey, Lord, will you bring, if I'm not it, can you bring in what it is that they need and can you make sure that there is no gap that's missing? You know, let them not miss a beat. That whoever it is supposed to step in and assume my role, let that person manifest immediately. You know, and you know God, you know how he is. He cares about us. He cares about us, and he cares about the things that matter to us. And so, you know, if you're helping someone with something business-related, you know, and you feel like, okay, but if I leave them, and if I leave them right now, I'm going to leave them in a lurch, you know, don't you think that God cares about that person's business as much as you do, even more than you do? Of course he's going to send someone to step up and fulfill your role, especially if he's telling you to leave where it is that you are because he has something else that he needs you to do. So, you know, we don't have to play God in the lives of other people. He can handle it. He's God all by himself. He can handle it. So, anyway, so that's that. But we're talking about how you need to write the vision and make it plain because you will need to refer back to it when things get hairy, when it seems like it's taken forever for your stuff to manifest, when you are tired, when you're frustrated, when you are disappointed, you need to be able to go back and say, okay, this is the vision that he gave me. And then how that tied in with what the people asking you to do stuff is, you know, we sometimes veer off course because we have not really connected with what it is that he gave us as a vision. And so you go back to your vision so that you can say, okay, all right, am I still on track here? It will help you to locate yourself and to keep yourself on target, okay? Then it says that for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Oh, how about that, right? So when Paul was talking to him, you know, or he was talking to Paul and telling him to move himself across the country and start this ministry, you know, I am sure he did not tell Paul, oh, and by the way, I'm going to have you go through and preach to, you know, masses of no one for all these years, because it's going to take you 10 years to get your stuff. I am so sure that he did not go there with him. He just told him, hey, I have, you know, there's greatness in you, and there are people who need what it is that you have. And so, but the vision is yet for an appointed time. So for those of you who are out there and you're frustrated and you're wondering, why hasn't this happened? He's just trying to see your tenacity. He's just trying to see your diligence and your faithfulness. So just keep doing what it is that you're doing, and he will bring about the appointed time when he's ready, not when you're ready. And that's a hard pill to swallow because, you know, we want it like 15 minutes ago, you know, but we don't need it 15 minutes ago, and we might not be ready for it when we think that we are. And so even if we are on the journey and we are having these disappointments and these setbacks and stuff is delayed and held up and hindered and, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, remember he promises that for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that even what the devil means for bad, he will turn it around for our good. And so, you know, I liken it to like a child. And you would not give a 4 or 5-year-old a brand new car because, I mean, not a real one, you know, because they're not ready for it. You know, you would buy a bike, you know, that child is ready for a bike, and in your mind you may be thinking, okay, I'll put money aside then for the child to have a new car, you know, so that when they're 16 or 18, you know, I can go ahead and bless this person with this kind of gift. And so, you know, now, the child may never know what it is that you're planning, or the child may very well know that you are planning to do some stuff, but you're not going to give it to that child before they're ready. You know, we first crawl before we walk, and so the vision is for an appointed time. But he is the one who changes both times and seasons. I'm going to say that again. God is the one who changes times and seasons. And so, you know, our job typically is to go where he tells us to go and do what he tells us to do and say what he tells us to say, you know. And if we can just remember that we are like pipes, empty pipes, and he is the water that flows through those pipes. We're just vessels, and he just is able to use us however it is that he needs to use us. And so we just need to yield. We just need to yield. Now, there's a word. Yeah, look that one up. Okay. Bet you the Holy Spirit will spend a whole lot of time working with you on that one. Yield. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to liken that one to being a 4-letter word. But there's a whole lot in there for us, you know, to be able to learn as we're on the journey about yielding and being sensitive to His Spirit and going where it is that He wants us to go. And so, you know, now for me, I find that it takes the pressure off. I know that I don't have to have all the right stuff. I don't have to be, you know, like perfect in all my ways, because of course I could never be perfect. But I can call on the one who is perfect and ask for help. Like, okay, you know, you said go to this place, and I'm going to this place. And I don't even have a message. Yet when I get there, the message will show up because I've just emptied myself out. So, you know, I guess I'm just saying all that, you know, for those of you who feel like everything has to be completely lined up, you know, we don't really have to have everything lined up. We just need to be obedient. Yeah, how about that? We just need to be obedient. And on the other side of our obedience, it's blessing, not just for you, but for whoever it is that he crosses your path with, you know, whoever it is that's supposed to be attached to you. There are blessings that are attached to your obedience. And so, you know, if you are finding that you're having a hard time being obedient and you're having a hard time trusting, you know, he really can handle the truth. And the first examples that we get of who he is, he being God, of course, you know, who he you know, from the adults and stuff who are around us. And so if you have, you know, family who are, you know, critical, and you're one of those in one of those situations where children are seen and not heard, and, you know, you can never do anything right, and, you know, whatever stuff it is that people put on you, just remember that, you know, people just are where they are at any given time. And so they just do the best that they can. But, you know, but all of these broadcasts, you know, the whole point is, you know, are you going to do what it takes to get yourself free so that you can have the life that you really want to have? But you don't have to stay stuck. We don't have to just do this thing on autopilot. You know, now that we are, you know, over 18, and how powerful would this be, you know, if we got a chance to grow up with this stuff and not have to learn this stuff at 30, 40, and 50? How about that? You know, if we could get this stuff in and then start mentoring young people, you know, on how to live this way and how to think right so that they can eliminate a whole lot of drama. They would be a whole lot further along than we are. But it's good, you know. And so if you're having a hard time trusting him and just letting go, he can really handle the truth. It's not like he doesn't know it anyway. And what you reveal, he can heal. So, you know, you could have a conversation with him that sounds something like, you know, Lord, I know that you are telling me that I need to leave this place. I know that you are telling me to move back home. I know that you are telling me that I need to stop working where I'm working. But I'm afraid. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know who's going to help these people. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. You know, I have this thing or that thing going on with my health. I don't know how I'm going to, you know, to meet these obligations, you know, my kid needs clothes, you know, fill in the blank, whatever, you know, whatever your stuff is that has you kind of tied to fear of, I don't really know how I'm going to make it. And so, you know, how do I just let go and I can't see anything below me? And you want me to just step out? And the answer to that is yes, he does. But as you were talking to him and revealing to him how you really feel about stuff and where your fears lie, then he can get in there and begin to work with you. But, like, as long as you're still holding on to it, it's like you're saying, you know, well, I got this. And so as long as you have it, then there's nothing he can really do with that. So you are going to have to let go and hand it over to him. You know, even if you have to hand it over to him in tears, you know, even if you have to hand it over in tears, I've given this scenario before. I'm going to give it again because it just came to mind, so I guess I'm supposed to share it. About the little girl with the fake pearls. She had this pair of fake pearls that she just completely loved. And every now and then her father would ask her, oh, honey, do you love me? Oh, I love you, Daddy. Let me have your pearls. And she's like, no. You kidding? No. I'm not giving you my pearls, you know. And he'd go on. And, you know, sometime later he'd ask her again, you know, sweetheart, do you love me? Of course I love you, Daddy. You know, let me have your pearls. No. And so after they had gone through this several times, you know, at this point she realizes, okay, you know, like, why does he keep asking me for the thing that I love or this thing that I want to hold on to? It means something to me. I want this. Why is he asking me for this? You know, and so he wouldn't say anything. But by this time, you know, he's getting a little grief because he's like, oh, you know, my daughter doesn't trust me. You know, well, yeah, doesn't that speak to us? You know, my child doesn't trust me. And so, you know, trembling and with tears in her eyes, you know, she goes up to her father and you're like, okay, fine, I'll give you these pearls. And she didn't really want to have to do it, but she didn't want to grieve him either. And so she gave him the pearls. And of course, you know, he gives her a great big hug and all that kind of stuff. And then he gives her what it was that he had for her, which was a pair of real pearls to replace them with. Yeah, how often and how many times have we done that? Held on to something way longer than we were supposed to. God's like, give me that. And you're like, what? No, no, no. What am I supposed to do without that? I need this. I need this, Lord. No, I can't give you what you're asking for. I'm sorry. You know, no, you're going to just have to be mad. And he, you know, he's a gentleman, so he'll just back off, you know, and he'll come at you again. You know, will you give me that? Give me that relationship. Give me that thing that you just love so much over there. You know, give me that business. Give me that idea. Give me back your gift. And you're like, no, I need these things. You know, almost in the way like it defines you. And he's like, it doesn't define you, but I need that. Give me that. And you're thinking that he is asking because he wants to hurt you, but he's asking because he wants to bless you with something greater. Oh, that's so powerful. And I feel the Holy Spirit was from it. I got to say that one again. You think that he is asking you for whatever it is that he's requiring of you right now because he's trying to hurt you. And the truth is, he is asking for it so that he can bless you with something greater. Let that speak to your heart tonight. And and when this broadcast is over, go in prayer and, you know, and talk to him and just really kind of, you know, pour yourself out for, you know, whatever it is that you do to, you know, to get it out, that you write or, you know, sing or, you know, whatever your thing is, you know, just go ahead and do that thing, because there's something significant that he's really trying to bless you with, and you're holding on to something old, and he's like, let it go. Let it go. Give that to me, and then receive what it is that I have for you. So, yeah, that's really, that's important, and that's powerful. So, the vision is yet for an appointed time, okay? And then the next part of the scripture reads that, but at the end it will speak, and it won't lie. And so, even though it will take you a long time, or take you what you feel like is a long time to get where it is that you're trying to go, he's saying if you just stay the course, don't give up, you know, go ahead and beat some pillows, if that's what you need to do. Don't beat anybody, but just, you know, go ahead and beat some pillows if you have to, and do what you have to do so that you can get where you're trying to go, you know, because in the end, it will speak and it won't lie. Remember, God is the God who speaks, and he can't lie. And so when he puts his mouth on a word, and he speaks a word, and he puts something out there, that word literally cannot return unto him void, you know, and so, and it won't. Now, yeah, you may have seen where something may not have come to pass, and sometimes that's a timing thing, and then some other times it's because you may have forfeited it. You may have just given it up. You have not done, excuse me, what it is that he has required of you. And so he's had to move somebody else in there to do what it was that he asked you to do. But that does not mean that he lied. He didn't lie. He just moved somebody else in. Sometimes blessings end up with a new face because we have not done what it is that he has required us to do. And so, you know, but again, it doesn't mean that he lied. He hasn't lied. He did exactly what it was that he said he was going to do. But he used the vessel who was willing to obey. How about that? So, you know, so many times we just hold on and we stay put and do all the stuff we're not supposed to do, and we lose the very thing that he has for us. But I'm sorry, I digress. We're supposed to be talking about the vision, holding on and staying fast to what it is that he's telling you to do, and knowing that the vision is not going to lie, because he is the one who spoke it, and he's the one that gave it to you, and he gave it to you for a reason. And he's not going to give the vision that he has for you to someone else in the same way that he gave it to you, because you are, in this case, you are the visionary. You're the one who's supposed to bring it to pass. And so he will bring people to help you. He will bring people to support you. He will bring, you know, backers or, you know, whatever else that it is that you need in order to be able to get this vision to grow the way that it needs to grow and to the magnitude that he intends for it to be. But you have to stay the course. And so you just stay the course. And he will do it. It's not going to lie. You know, and I keep going back to Paul Shepherd, because it took so long for his ministry to finally take off. 10 years. That's a long time to just keep plugging away at something and just doing it and not ever really seeing any payoff. You know, and we are spirit beings, but we are human too. We are people in the flesh, and we have feelings, and we hurt, and, you know, and we get depressed, and sometimes it's hard for us to bounce back from stuff, but he stayed the course, and he got the prize. And so you when he gives you the vision, you got to just keep your eyes focused on where it is that he's telling you that he wants you to go, and just know that you're going to get there. And when the times when you are doubting and fearful and you just, you're afraid, like, how am I going to do this? You know, just tell him. He can really handle the truth. It is what you reveal that he's able to heal. And then you're just, you'll find that you're in a different place, because, you know, the conversation opened up a way for him to be able to get in there and to do some things in your life that he had not had liberty to be able to do before. But, you know, everything that we are doing is supposed to tie us towards living in freedom and living the abundant life. And so, you know, a big part of that is just being honest about where we are and how we feel, so that he can bring in the necessary things that we need to help us make the transitions and changes and things like that that are going on. but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. And so whatever it is that he has spoken over your life, whatever it is, you know, if you are in a place where you are, you're frustrated and, you know, you have started and stopped and you've tried so many times and it feels like you just can't ever get anything to, you know, to work right, don't give up. Don't give up. You owe it to yourself to just keep plugging away and to just keep pressing through. Don't give up, you know. And if you need some encouragement, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You know, sometimes you need to put on some, you know, some music that really just kind of edifies who he is, because in the edification of who he is, you're kind of reminded of what it is that he's able to do, which, of course, is all things, including strengthening you and undergirding you when you feel weak and disappointed. And, you know, go ahead and admit however it is that you're feeling, and then give it to him, you know, and then free him to be able to come in there and talk to you about some stuff. And it's so funny, you know, I wonder sometimes about pastors who are up there who are preaching messages, you know, because as I am, I don't have all of my stuff written out. You know, he gives me a little bit of stuff to, you know, to kind of write out when I start the broadcast, and then literally it's whatever it is that he wants me to speak. And so it's, you know, it's just kind of flowing. And so it's funny, I'm giving this message, but the message is for me too. You know, there's some stuff I really need to just, like, okay, we need to powwow, God. I got some stuff on my mind. I got some stuff on my heart, and I got some stuff and some people I need to let go. So, you know, but those transitions can be painful, and they can be disappointing and frustrating, but you got to do what you got to do, because the goal is for you to get where it is that you're trying to go. So if there's something that's in the way, and you know, who needs an albatross around their neck? You certainly don't. I certainly don't. So whatever it is that is in the way, release it, you know? And of course, now I just said that I'm right there walking this thing right along with you, so I'm not saying that it's easy, you know? And I'll cry my tears right along with the rest of you, you know? But on the other side of that, you know, on the other side of me giving him my fake pearls, I am now expecting to receive a pair of real ones, you know, and not long after I've given them up either, you know, but the vision is yet for an appointed time. And so that just is jumping out to me over and over again. The vision is yet for an appointed time. It's yet for an appointed time. It's yet for an appointed time. And so, you know, I guess that's supposed to be something that I need to use to encourage myself, you know, and speak that over my own life. The vision is yet for an appointed time. And so, such as it is for you, the vision is yet for an appointed time. And so if you are struggling in your waiting process, you know, just be honest about where you are. You know, I don't know if you journal, but, like, that really helps me a whole lot, being able to just write out how I feel. My journal absolutely never judges anything that I have to say. And I don't know about you, but that's important to me, you know, to actually be able to have a safe place. Or how about this, being able to actually say how I feel without somebody else taking the conversation and making it about them. You know, that stuff is important. And so, like, you know, I love my journals. I love being able to just put it all out there and just write exactly how I feel, and then I don't have to be pretty, and, you know, I can go off as I feel like it. Whatever it is that I'm feeling, I can really just put right there. So that helps me, you know. And I hope that you all have a safe place to be able to release what it is that you really feel on the inside. You know, there are no good or bad emotions. It just is what it is, you know, and we just are where we are. And so you're trying to pretty stuff up and all that. that stuff barely works, you know. But we're talking about living an authentic life. So that means that, you know, you have to be honest at times when you're not going to really feel like being honest. That means you're going to have to, you know, look yourself in the face and be like, oh, I really screwed that one up. Or, you know, oh, yep, I should have let this go. Or, you know, whatever it is that's kind of eating at you. But when you admit it, it's like you can, it loses its power to be able to affect your life anymore. And that is so important. Yes, I feel like I need to say that one again, that whatever it is that you have been holding on to and not really being honest about, you're holding on to it gives it power to be able to affect your life. And so when you can be honest about it and can release it, then it loses its power. It loses
the hold that it has on you. And we want to walk in liberty. We want to walk in freedom. I feel like I need to go back to some of those definitions. One of the things that stood out to me when I was looking up the definitions was that it said, for liberty, freedom or release from slavery, imprisonment, captivity, or any other form of arbitrary control. You know, the state of being free, you know, those kinds of things. Those are some of the definitions for freedom and for liberty for today. Being able of itself to choose or determine action freely. Ease of movement or performance, a right or privilege. How about that? That freedom is your right. Freedom is your privilege. Did you know that you had a right to freedom? You know, not because of anything that you did, but simply because you were born, you have a right to freedom because he paid the cost. Jesus paid the cost for you to be able to walk in freedom. So whoever is controlling you, you know, he says that, you know, like rebellion is like witchcraft, you know, and which means like, you know, mind control kinds of stuff. And so, you know, it seems like if you have been trying to get out of something and you just can't seem to get, like almost like something has your ankles kind of like you're in like sticky glue or something, and you can't seem to get out of it. You know, I would really take a look and see who's speaking over your life. What are people saying? You know, because sometimes folks will try to get you bound up and remain attached to them and circumstances because of their own agenda. And trust me when I tell you that somebody who is trying to manipulate you to stay, who is pulling power trips and stuff like that, to, you know, for you to stay, love has nothing to do with it. I'm going to say that again. If a person is trying to manipulate you and control you to stay, love has nothing to do with it. That's on some other stuff entirely, and you really need to get out. But, you know, it just is what it is. So I don't mean to, you know, to digress, but I just felt like that was something really important to say, you know, because in the midst of them trying to play the mind game of, you know, oh, you know, you need me or whatever it is that they're doing, and then the next conversations that come after that, you know, oh, but I love you. Oh, you know, I need you. I need you. You know, what am I going to do without you? You know, I've been with you all this time. You know, we've been together all this time, and I've loved you all this time. You know, and all of that, it's all a part of the ploy, but it's all mind control. You know, and you are stronger than that. You are stronger than that situation. You have everything it is that is within you right now, right now, right this instant, even as I'm speaking into your life, you have exactly what it is everything you need to be able to rise out of that situation and to put that stuff under your feet. Love has nothing to do with that. Love doesn't control. How about that? It gives you freedom to be who you are. It gives you freedom to make a choice, even if it doesn't line up and the other person doesn't agree with it. They can respect the fact that you have the right to have a choice. Love does not control. And so if you're with somebody who is literally trying to control your every move, your every breath, you know, where your comings and your going, that is not a healthy situation. That is not authentic. That is not anywhere near you living the abundant life that he has made available for you and you need to get out. And I'm going to say it again. Right now, in this very instant, you do have the strength that you need, all of the strength and all the power that you need to put this thing under your feet, walk, and never look back. That's important because sometimes we want to play, and I need to give this person a piece of my mind. You don't need to give that person anything. Give that person to God, and you get to step in. Go exactly where it is that he's telling you to go, and get out of that. Get out of that. Get out of that. You have no place being there. And you have no business messing around with whatever it is that's operating in that person that is literally trying to manipulate and control your life. God is not in that. God is not in that. He gives us freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. And whatever we choose, good or bad, he respects it. And so real love will let you function in that same place of your right to choose. Your right to choose. And you're strong enough now to get out. Right now. You're strong enough now to get out. Stop letting another person control your life. Okay, and so back to the scripture. That was something I'm always fussing at you guys, huh? But know that I'm fussing in love. I love you. Okay, so, but at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. So he's saying that the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's going to speak and it's not going to lie. And though it tarries, wait for it. That means it's, you know, it may take a while. And then right after that, it sounds like he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. Because it says, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So it's saying that, yeah, it's going to take a minute. It may take you longer than you thought it was going to take you to get where you're trying to go. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. So though it takes a minute for things to manifest, if you just stay the course, though it tarries, wait for it will surely come. In other words, he's saying, whatever I promised you, I'm going to do. I didn't lie to you. I'm going to bring every single thing that I promised you in your life to pass as long as you stay the course. Okay. And so, you know, simply I never really kind of get around to the vision board. I guess I'll do that next week. But this was important, and I hope you all got what it was that you needed. So, we are reaching the end of our broadcast here, so let me just give you some information. This is just a reminder that the book signing for my novel, Season of Change, will be Saturday, July 13th, starting at 1 o'clock. It's scheduled from 1 to 3, but if it lasts a little longer than that, you know, that's fine, I'll be around. I refuse to leave until I've had a chance to touch and or speak to all of you or, you know, hold hands or, you know, shake hands or whatever it is. You know, but I look forward to meeting you. So and the event will be held at Metro Commons in the clubhouse. Please enter by the pool. And that is located at 28745 Van Born Road in Romulus, Michigan. Again, that is 28745 Van Born Road in Romulus, Michigan. I will be reading an excerpt from the book and mingling with all of you. Light refreshments will be served. And, of course, books will be available for sale. If you're in the area, please stop by and say hello. I look forward to meeting you. And if you are wondering how to reach me, you may access me through my website. That's the easiest way to just, you know, get all the information all at one time. And that is www.tumikapatrice.com. So, again, that is www.tamikapatrice.com. And there you will find links that will take you directly to my Facebook fan page and also my Twitter accounts. You may also opt in to receive my mailing list and purchase books. And my contact phone number and address are there as well, and I look forward to hearing from you. You know, all the time, if you want to just, you know, drop a note and say, you know, how the broadcasts are, you know, is affecting your life, or you want to fuss at me for it, you know, for anything, it doesn't matter. I just leave open channels, and I look forward to, you know, to touching base with all of you. And, you know, and just know that I don't take any of this stuff lightly, and I don't take speaking into your life lightly. You know, each one of you is so important, and not just important, but you're precious to God. Like, every single thing that, like, matters to you matters to Him. And sometimes we just don't get that message, and, like, life will just beat the mess out of you sometimes. So you feel like, you know, is there any love to be had? And the answer is yes. You know, He loves you with a love I can't even begin to describe. And so, you know, sometimes you just need somebody to just tell you, you know, God loves you. He loves you. And it may come across, and it may have to, you know, come from a venue like this with some outside person saying to you, you know, hey, I know your journey has been rough, but He has been there, and you made it through. You know, it's been rough, but you made it through. And you are loved, and you are precious, and you are valued, and what you want matters, and how you feel matters, and, you know, where you end up matters. Your journey matters. It matters to God, and the things that matter to you matter to Him too, because you matter. So anything that's involving you matters to Him, because everything about you is important and you matter to Him. So, you know, just know that you are loved, and I don't take any of these connects for granted. You know, you are precious, and I hope that you get something that will help you to know exactly who you are in Christ. You know, not just who you are, but whose you are, you know, because that is so important, so that when your stuff is coming through and trying to sway you off course and trying to tell you that you're not who it was that he says that you are, that you'll say, no. You can look yourself in the mirror and say, no, I don't have to believe that lie. I don't have to accept that as truth. What you're saying and what the situation is the complete opposite of what it is that the Bible says about me and what it is that God has sent through prophets to speak into my life. No, I don't have to accept that as truth. I am loved. I am wholly and completely accepted just the way that I am. I am a perfect creation. I am a perfect creation. You know, no, I didn't say I was a perfect. I didn't say I was a perfect thing. I said I was a perfect creation. The perfect one created me. And when he was done, he did not look at you and say, oh, it's half baked. Let me put it back in the oven. He said it was good. So when you look at yourself, I hope you're telling yourself, it is good. It is good. So I want you to spend this week consciously walking in the full liberty that has been made available to you. Do something significant that will lead you in the direction that you want to go. It is always a choice to live life on purpose, so do so, and do what you have to do. And remember, to make each day a great day on purpose, you are worth the effort. Good night.